Hi, my name is Roy Collin, and welcome to the show. I've also got Fight Podcast, The Awakening Podcast, Exposing Fraud and Corruption, but with Solutions, the Crypto Podcast, talking about all things blockchain, NFTs, crypto, the Meditation Podcast, talking about all different types of meditation, but there's also meditations there from 1 minute to 2 hours. And the other one's the Learn Polish Podcast, so if you're interested in learning Polish, you can do that. And the other one is Speaking with Roy Collin, and I just have guests from around the world talking about either public speaking or also about their book or just general life in general. And you find everything on bio.link/podcaster. I'm also a podcasting coach, and you see the QR code there, and it's also on my link as well. And if you're interested in actually going on some podcast shows, I'm helping people doing that. Or if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com. He helps people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. So be sure to check him out, danielpacker.com. I hope you enjoy this week's show. Welcome to the Meditation and Speaking Podcast, and you'll understand why I'm actually doing both, because of my next guest. So he's American, but he's living in Holland. Motivational speaker, author, not of one book, not of two. He'll be soon his 35th book, which is impressive. Meditator and also a coach. Please welcome Bradley Charbonneau. I don't know that I did. You probably want to slap me now for
no. You even got some of the accent go Charbonneau. I love it. Brilliant. A little of the French love.
Exactly. Great. So welcome to the show. So you might let the listeners know a little bit more about Bradley.
Great. Thank you so much. It's great to be here. We just had a fantastic chat before we hit record, and it's really great to meet you. Great to be on here. Great to see how we have so much in common, especially about speaking and meditating and talking about Toastmasters and it's all here's one quick thing about me, and that is that I used to theorize and philosophize and dream and hope and wish and about whatever action I was hoping to take, and yet I wouldn't take action. And then one day I finally took action. And everything changed. And it's the same as we were kind of just joking about, you know, meditation. I used to think I have to move to Nepal, live on a hilltop in a, you know, as a monk, wear an orange robe, shave my head.
Exactly. I was going to shave your head first to get, you know, before we go there. Like,
yeah. And then I finally realized, no, meditation can be, you know, 12 minutes in the morning. I'm literally in my bathroom because it's the only door that like locks in the house. 12 minutes in the morning, and my day is better for it. So,
and does the wife think you've bowel problems? Does she?
My kids still don't get why there's a chair in the shower, and I can't believe they still ask me why is a chair in the shower. I'm like, I've been doing it for 7 years. Have you not noticed? I have teenagers. They notice like food and money, right?
But I think it's important that, because like with my previous partner, like I got divorced, got a great relationship because I've even got a podcast with them, but they didn't get my meditation and later got involved themselves in it. But I used to do the same, like, because that was my not to be disturbed place, because sometimes people just don't get it and they just come in as if like, and sometimes it's just nice to have that quietness and just go through whatever routine you're doing.
Yeah. That's why I'm in the shower. It's the only locked door in the house. And I've got the headphones on. I've got the eye mask on. And I'll put like a towel and a rug on the floor, and it's my little zone. And it's important. I also think it's important, by the way, to cover out as many senses as you can, you know, noise and sight and everything. And yeah, it is. That's my place. But, you know, speaking of the kids and the wife, who, by the way, none of the three of them is a meditator. And although I wish with all my heart that they would be, and it's not for lack of trying, but I've always heard something like, be the shining light of your energy or something like that. Like, how can I convince not only your listeners, your viewers, my family who I see every day, and they see the benefits of my meditation, and I even talk about them, and yet they don't do it. If I can't quote unquote, convince my family to meditate, how am I going to convince anyone? And I know the answer, of course, they have to want it a little bit. They have to have some intrinsic motivation to get started. Otherwise, it's just, I did a 2-year MBA program, international fancy MBA, right? Here's what I learned in one sentence. And it was from Dr. Inzerelli. It was like business psychology. And he said, he was like this Italian guy. He's like, you can bring the horses to drink. You can bring the horses to water, but you can't make them drink. 2 years of MBA. That's what I learned. Although I'll take it because that is so valuable. And it helps me to stop trying to save the world because I can bring the horses to water, but I can't make them drink. And so I can provide the water. I can provide the horse. I don't know.
And but the horse it's actually interesting because like there's so many of my guests come on and I kind of talk about that. Sometimes mention the children and I ask them and most of them say, no, but I'm trying to. But I think it's, they eventually will find their own place. And it's like, you know, I'm not sure do you drive or whatever, but if you're driving, they see you don't have road rage. You're able to keep your calm. When someone's screaming at you, you can just keep your calm and not react. And eventually they'll go, what's the difference between them and somebody else? Ooh, they tend to kind of meditate in the morning. Maybe I should practice. Yeah. And I think sometimes the penny just drops eventually. And if you push it, like what some have said, and I believe that's the same, it's like if you kind of go, you must, they'll go the opposite. It's the magnet effect. They just say, no, you know, you're pushing this down my throat. I don't want it. And the best thing is just let them see, and then they'll learn, and eventually they'll start embracing it.
Yeah. My son just this morning was saying, oh, he feels nauseous. And since I've meditated, I don't get headaches anymore. I have sort of more regular energy throughout the day. I have more energy throughout the day. I sleep better. I sleep even shorter. I am more clear. I'm more confident. I have more courage. It's just like endless benefits, right? And for my son, and it's sort of, there's this great conversation with Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra. And they're having this 2-hour long show or something. And then Wayne, he's always making fun of Deepak. And he's because Deepak's answer for every question Wayne has. And then Wayne makes fun of Deepak's Indian accent. And he says, Deepak, you know, can you help me with this thing? I don't know what to do. Or what should I do about this problem with my wife or my family or my job or my something? And he says, and Deepak, you always have the same answer. Meditate. He's making fun of Deepak Chopra because that's his answer for everything. And it's not my answer for everything, but it's my answer for a lot of things. But I think people, I don't know, that if they're not ready to hear it, then they don't hear it. They don't want to hear it. I don't know.
What's your journey? Yeah. Like how did you actually start getting into meditation?
For me, it was very clear. It was my father was dying of cancer. And I was not at all a meditator before that. I didn't have a drop of spirituality in me before or even much believe in it or anything. But then when my dad was dying of cancer, I went crazy. I'm quite the researcher. I will dig deep in anything. I'll read the books and watch the courses or whatever, anything to find out, especially if I have a big reason. And this was basically, how can I save my dad? That was my thinking. And I went everything from full-on Western medicine to crazy woo-woo out there, wacko stuff, and then sort of everything in between. And yet my dad was a very conservative guy, very practical. He was a mathematician and an engineer. And I'm more of the artist guy, although I did have my undergraduate in mathematics, but I'm much more the artist, the free to be you and me, fun, la la. But I said, okay, but if I want to help my dad's not going to go for the total woo-woo stuff. He needs to have some science or some research or something in there. And for me, I found, I don't know if you know him, but I found Joe Dispenza.
Pardon me.
And what I like about Joe Dispenza, especially back then, was he was big on, okay, here's what happens in the meditation. Here's the way what's going on with your brain waves. And here's how that's changing, you know, cells in your body. So he'd get into the biology and the chemistry and the charts and the graphs of your heartbeat and your rhythm and whatnot. And so I felt like, okay, this is more hard science, or as close to hard science as we're going to get. And I could bring that more to my dad. And so, of course, what I'm working on, all this is all for my dad. It's all for my dad. It's all for my dad. And yet, of course, what was happening was that I was the one doing the meditations. I was the one reading the books and learning the stuff. And then at some point, it kind of clicked. I'm like, huh, this stuff's actually kind of cool. And then in my meditation practice, I believe all you need is just like one glimpse of something sort of beyond your normal reality, some little opening, some little crack in the universe where you experience some little tiny bit of, wait a minute, like, is there more out there than the physical world and what I experience on a daily basis? And if you ever experience that, even in the tiniest bit, then there's no going back, because you just want more. It's just like, it's like crack. It's just like, I'm addicted and I want more. Except with the comparison with crack, meditation is free, super healthy. Side effects are things like, you know, clarity, courage, and confidence, right? And you don't get killed on the street corner for it, right? And so, yeah, so in finding sort of meditation and spirituality and trying to save my dad from cancer, which I wasn't able to do, by the way, but in doing that, I found meditation for myself, and I've never stopped ever since. It's been since 2015, and never, I barely missed a day. I don't miss a day.
Brilliant. And like, yeah. The thing is, with, especially I think in the last few years, a lot of people are kind of realizing information, you know, whether from science books or even for religion, a lot of them were pushing down meditation as if it was bad. And when you kind of realize what's going on in the world, they push on what's good and they try to push what's bad. And then you kind of realize it's when you get the benefits yourself, because like, I just know myself. I mean, how I got into it, I just lost everything. I'd lost my own houses and loads of different things. And that's how I kind of got into it. I'd done the guided meditation, but it's kind of since that moment, I mean, even my mom was saying the other day, you know, I was talking to her and my cousin, and my mom said, he never gets stressed. And I don't. Yeah. And I was like, it's not that I don't have a moment of, but it's like I'm in full control of everything.
Yeah.
And it's basically just down to breathing, just down to, like, even in the morning, like, I just sit there and just kind of have a think, what would I like to do today? You know, it's like, you know, it's not pushing anything. It's just kind of being present as well. It's like, I think we appreciate that. I don't know about you, but I appreciate the smaller things in life a lot more since I've kind of gone through this. You know, before I was always pushing for the big house, trying to get a bigger car. And now it's like, it's all about the moments, you know, really enjoying the meal with the family and just all these different things.
Yeah. This morning, it's funny you say the small things. So every single day now, I do a YouTube short, 15 seconds. And I'm a big believer in the practice, daily habits, just like writing and meditation, daily meditation. So since November 1st, 2022, which was 10-year anniversary of my start when I started writing. And so November 1st, 2022, I started doing a YouTube short every single day. And my YouTube short this morning, I was walking my dog in the woods and the sun was coming in through the mist and the trees and the sun rays. It was just this magical moment, and that was my video is literally what you just said. It's just enjoying those small moments, and how that is one of the secrets to happiness, to enjoying these small moments. That's it. It's really so simple.
Well, that's kind of, we can kind of integrate the meditation with speaking, but I'd like to know your kind of speaking journey as well, because I know, like we mentioned prior, like, you know, you're involved in Toastmasters and I am, but I'd like to know your own kind of speaking journey as well then.
Well, then this is a perfect segue, because where do I get that clarity of what is my speech going to be about, for example? And I get it in meditation. And so often, as we mentioned, we're in Toastmasters. And so I think you and I are both not traditional Toastmasters members, because we were talking more about comedy. We're the rebels, right? And so we break the rules and stuff. And so, for example, I used to rehearse my speeches, you know, 20, 30 times. But now, especially thanks to meditation, I know my topic. I've got my topic in my head for a week or two, and I'll probably make bullet points or an outline of some kind. And I might rehearse a couple times, but my real rehearsal is in meditation. And so often I'm listening to a guided meditation and I'm not really hearing it anymore. It's more background noise. And because I'm not even consciously going through my, it's not like, okay, and then point number one is about bananas and point number two is going to be about grapes. No, it's almost an unconscious preparation. And then sometimes in my meditation, I'm like, I've got it. I'm done. I'm ready. And then I'm done and I'm ready. And so thanks to meditation, so in Toastmasters, I'm sure you appreciate this. So last year I was president. And one of the roles of president is very much like the MC of the event, right? You're welcoming people. You're like, hey, how you doing? You're more, you could make it stand-up comedy, which I kind of do, or sort of improv comedy, making people feel welcome, chit-chatting with people. But thanks to my calmness and my meditation and sort of being in control of myself, I am elevated to a level of calmness and clarity that people say, how are you so witty and clever and quick? And I say, it's really meditation, because I don't have all that clutter in my mind of, oh, what is point number two of my speech? Oh, and then point number three, I've got it. It's all here. It's just, I have this calmness that allows the good stuff to come out. It's not cluttered by junk.
And I mean, I've never actually mentioned this on either of the podcasts, but when I was prepared, I kind of made a decision. I was late in life. I was kind of like, 45 or something like that, when I decided, okay, I need to get good at public speaking. And so I went kind of all in. And I was looking at people that were really struggling to come up with an idea and everything. And I never had that problem. Like, I'd done hundreds, yeah. And a lot of people will do the same speech or just kind of tweak it. I'd do completely different, but I would do that as well. I'd be like, sometimes I just go in my head and I'm like visualizing how I'm doing it. And I go, okay, and you know, I'm just visualizing it being good and giving value as well. And it was always working out like the way I would see it to be. It was never going, you know, because other people do the opposite. And I think it's an important point. A lot of people, their visualization is the negative and the bad things that can happen. And if you're throwing that out there and you're thinking only of that, that's why it might happen, or the fear kicks in and you start buckling and you're quivering. Whereas if you start thinking in the positive, you put the positive, and it's like kind of predicting the future. The future is going to be this because I've said it's going to be this, and that's how it happens.
Wow. This is an awesome conversation. I love this, mixing up the meditation and the speaking. Because, you know, this is a perfect example of, we were talking earlier about like a solo monologue podcast versus a conversation. And this is, I'm so excited about talking with you, because also we have so much in common with the Toastmasters and the podcast and the speaking. But talking about something, and I think this is a perfect example of the dialogue, as compared to like me just writing a book. If it's just me, then it's a monologue. And that's fine. I've got my story. I'll tell my story. That's great. But now the back and forth, and the fact that we're live and talking about this, a real conversation, that's when sometimes the real good stuff comes out, and it's unexpected. You know, we didn't rehearse. Here's a Toastmaster note. We didn't rehearse this. I don't have an outline here of our, you know, okay, at minute 32, talk about this. Right? No, because I think we're so sort of elevated in our calm. It's so interesting you mentioned about the car and how you're, hey, why aren't you stressed? I get that too. Yeah. I don't stress out about much at all.
And I think like the meditation, when it comes through as well, you're in flow, and it's and like, because we discussed that at the start, we both kind of realized that there's definitely a massive advantage to Toastmasters and how it helps people. The table topics is more spontaneous, and it's a lot better. But then there's people, they get to a certain level and it's it's regimental, and you can see it. And like, I've even seen people, they're on stage, they're here, then they move to the middle because they're in the middle of the story, and then they're at the end. It's like I could put the coin in the back, your back, you know, to do the robot. And it's like, you know, and when you speak from the heart, that doesn't happen. And the thing is, like, we've all discussed this, like, that how people react. I remember one time, somebody coming up to me, I haven't been here for 2 years. This was in our one, the club, first club that I joined. And they said, I remember when I came here to the first meeting, it was 2 years ago, and you spoke about bum, 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 bum. And it was like, that was like a penny dropping, going, wow, people actually. Whereas if you said to me, what did the winner of the international, I haven't a clue what he said. I know, but sometimes, and it's about the message as well. Like, it's not about reaching 100% of the audience, because everyone's in their own little. But if you can touch somebody that needs to hear it, that's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a little bit back to bringing the horse to water, but you can't make a drink, because, well, back to Toastmasters, maybe the judges, you and I also talked about how we don't necessarily win contests, but partly because we don't play by the rules. And so we might not win the contest. So the judge is like, oh, well, he didn't do point 1, 2, 3 properly. But people come up to us afterwards and say, thank you so much for that speech. Or as you just mentioned, somebody comes a long time later and says, I remember that speech. I want that. That's a win for me.
Yeah.
That's the win. Absolutely. And that's what also I convinced myself of, because I was pissed and I was annoyed. Like, dang it, you know, why can't I win this thing, right? What's going on? I know I'm good. What am I doing wrong? And I was really frustrated. And then I realized it's just, different crowd or audience, different rule book, and I'm not playing by the rules. But then I thought, okay, do I want to play by the rule book and win the trophy? Or do I want to reach people deeply? I'm like, well, that's an easy answer.
Yeah. And I remember one time, actually, I came second in this one. It was like division one. But I won the audience one, and I have the trophy downstairs for that. And then I was thinking later, you know, because I like when so many people come up to you for whatever competition, they're saying, no, you were robbed there. You should have won this. Not. And then I was thinking, like, does it really matter? I mean, I am getting the skill set. I am connecting and everything. Does this trophy represent who I am? And it was like kind of no. And like at one stage, it was kind of like, this is a pain, and I wish the system was different. But at the end of the day, the fact that you kind of, you don't compromise as well, I think, like, you know, you can go in and you can look at the criteria. Okay, I'll do this. And that's how some people do it. Or you can say, I'm going to talk about this and I'm going to touch your heart. And whether it works or not. Yeah. And it's like, and even just seeing the reaction of people, you know, because like there was sometimes I don't want a touchy one. One time I won in my own club because I'd formed a club. I done one on religion. And it was basically, and most people, they say don't talk about politics and religion. But it was like, I'm going to talk about the thing that each one has a flaw in. But then we were judging each other. So there was a kind of message. And I brought it through the kind of less ones first, and they all laughing. And I knew the minute I touched on a certain religion, which religion they were. But that was my point. And I wish I had a camera behind me to see the reaction. So half the audience loved it and half because of the way I done it. And so it got past my one club and the next, I don't know, it was a third. But it was, I done it. I didn't actually, the reason I did it is I didn't want to be going further. I just kind of said, I'm going to do this for the crack. But it was so interesting for me to see how people, based on their belief system, everything is good as long as what you say is what I believe in. And we have to be conscious of that. That let's try to switch it around and get inside their head and see, why do they have that instead of attack? Because that's going on in the world at the moment. You believe this, I believe that, and we attack each other. Let's try to reverse it and try to...
Speaking of what's going on in the world right now, I think if everybody meditated for 20 minutes of every morning, the world would be an immeasurably better place.
Absolutely. And I mentioned reverse it. And I think that kind of leads into your writing, because I think reversing it is something that you kind of touch on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's very, as we talked about a little bit earlier, the idea of meditation, and back to the oh, I have to, you know, move to Nepal and live on a hilltop and all that, because that's a big, massive thing that, you know, honestly, who's really going to do that, right? Who's really going to, and is that really the solution? And are you really going to find, you know, enlightenment on the mountaintop in Nepal? You know, maybe, but are you really going to go? Yeah, you're going to go when you're 67 and you're retired and you finally are going to do it. Well, why not benefit earlier? And why wait all that time for the big mountain? And so in my writing, like, I've written now, as in 2 days, I will have written 35 books. And I often get the question, oh, I'm working on my first book. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a magnificent masterpiece, you know, mega mountain of masterpiece. And I say, great. You know, when's it going to be finished? I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, I need, you know, 7-8 more edits, and I need to get a couple more PhDs, and I should probably have more drama in my life. I should get married and divorced a few times. And, you know, it's just, it's never going to happen. And so, well, maybe never, but I don't know. It never is a long time, but probably not anytime soon. And so, again, humor, fun, lightness, meditator here. Like, I want lightness. I want fun. I want humor. I want you to break through as the coach, like a breakthrough coach that I am. I want you to break through your fears. And so it's going to be a big challenge for me to help you get over your big mountain. So we'll get there. But my theory, my technique, sort of my philosophy is, let's get over a little hill first, and then we'll talk about the mountain. And so for me, the little hill, especially in my writing, author, coaching world, is I want you to write a ridiculously short book. I'm mostly a nonfiction author. I do some fiction, but mostly nonfiction author. And I want you to write a crazy short book in a weekend. And you're going to say, oh, in a weekend, how am I going to write my 312-page, you know, saga? I'm like, you're not. It, even if it's 3 pages, that's fine. But we are going to get over that hill. We're going to get you a title, subtitle, cover, back cover, maybe 3 chapters. And I've got a structure for all of this stuff. But we're going to finish this little hill. And to make it easier and more fun, I know you've got your big, fantastic idea, the big mountain. So what we're going to do is, this first book, The Little Hill, is going to be the opposite topic. So we're going to take your fantastic idea and take it 180 degrees, and we're going to write as if that's the big message you want to get across. Like, in fact, so my book coming out in 2 days, it's the absolute opposite of everything I believe in. And the book is called Procrastinate. And it's what's the subtitle? The subtitle is maybe put it off again. You should probably do some more laundry and put the pro in procrastinate, right? So it's flipping it, that it's making procrastination a positive thing. Now, in my experience, procrastination is a miserable thing that it's, you know, fun for a little while, but then it really digs into you. So I'm twisting this idea on its head, and I'm making light of my big idea. And so I wrote this book, Procrastinate, in 2 hours. It's like 30 pages or something, right? It's really short.
But it took you 3 years to do that, yeah?
Yes, exactly. Yes, it took me, yes. Of course, that's an awesome procrastinate joke right there. I put it off for 3 years, and then it took me 2 hours. But that's actually pretty much the exact summary. That's a great point, because that summarizes beautifully the whole point here. Because usually you're going to procrastinate for 3 years, and then it's going to take you 2 hours. So that's my goal. The program's called Book in a Weekend, and I've got it all laid out Friday evening to Sunday evening. Here, I can even tell you, Friday evening is about clarity. Saturday is courage, and Sunday is confidence. The clarity to know what to do, the courage to do it, and the confidence to finish. That's what's going to happen in 2.5 days. And by Sunday evening, you've got a book. And that's it. And the book's going to be fun. We're going to get it done. And I almost want to have a guarantee. If you don't laugh at least once in the weekend, I'll give you your money back. Because it's supposed to be a fun thing. And it actually almost must be a fun thing. But I get a lot of, oh, but Bradley, I'm not funny. I'm like, if you twist your idea 180 degrees, right, just like with procrastinate, I'm like promoting procrastination, right? I absolutely do not want to do that. That procrastination is a brutal thing, and here I am making fun of it. I have a calendar. I have like a bonus content, and I have a calendar, and I make this like pretty calendar, and it has date. It's not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It has days on it that are procrastinator friendly. I have someday, and then I have never. And then I have tomorrow. And then, another bonus item. And see, all these ideas came up because I had so much fun thinking about this whole procrastination idea that the ideas just started blossoming. And so we also have a group. We have a support group, Procrastinators Anonymous. And it's a support group. And we meet never. We never meet. And that's it. And people are like, what in the world are you talking about? And I say, yeah, I know, but are we having fun yet? Are we having fun yet? We are. So think about this with your opposite book and just have fun with it and get it done. No stalling, no procrastination. And we're going to get it done by Sunday. Is it a masterpiece? No. Is it a bestseller? Probably not. But it's going to be your breakthrough to open up that dam, to let that flow begin. And that's my goal. And that's my story. Mm-hmm. I'm sticking with it.
I actually done a post a few years ago that I formed Procrastinators Anonymous 2 years ago. We've yet to meet.
No way.
And there was people going, I'd be interested in joining. And I just know from their personality, they didn't realize I was taking the baseline.
I can get in trouble with that. You're right. I could get people joining and saying, when do we meet? And then I'm going to keep on with a joke. Tomorrow.
Brilliant.
I could get pissed off.
With the books, then are you kind of doing print on demand, and also with audio? Are you kind of, because I mean, we actually have to touch on that later as well, because you've given me a meditation as well to share with the listeners.
Yeah. So I've been the traditional published route. I can recommend the traditionally published route if you have years of time and you don't need any money.
You get 50 cents per book if you're lucky.
Oh, if you're lucky, you get maybe 9% of your, right? So a traditional route, it's absolutely perfect for some people, just not me, because I don't have years to wait, and I like making money. And so the independent publishing route, I know way too much about it now. Having published 35 books, of course, I know every in and out of publishing. And I even have, I'm such a teacher kind of guy. I just love teaching. And so especially when I know something, especially sort of technical or difficult, I'll make a course about it or a YouTube video or something. So yes. And then audiobooks, well, as we've been talking about here with speaking, I am a huge fan of audiobooks as a listener, but also as a narrator. And especially as a nonfiction narrator, you should probably be the voice of your audiobook. If you're a fiction book, that's a whole different story. But nonfiction, you want to be your brand. You want to have your voice be recognized. And you probably know your book from your heart more than a narrator would ever. So I'm a big fan and proponent of especially nonfiction book narration. I've had a lot of fun.
I don't think we have the money anywhere to hire Morgan Freeman. I mean, he's the only guy I know that would probably sound good on the book.
Yeah. I used to have a fridge magnet that said, I wish Morgan Freeman narrated my life. I got to find it.
And I had done one, I printed a book, and recently I did a podcast planner, and I did it with Amazon. And I had a graphic designer working with me, and we were just doing, so I had it translated into Spanish, Russian. They wouldn't allow Russian because that goes against the narrative, and Polish. And we done, took so many reruns. No, this is wrong. So we had it perfect, eventually approved. And then we done the exact same thing for the Spanish ones. Kept coming back. Like, it took so long. And I spoke to other people, like, is that a route that you say you have to go down there? Because I know there's other platforms as well, and they blast it out, especially for the audio. They can blast it out to, you know, hundreds of different platforms that actually you can, people can purchase it.
Yeah. So the one word answer is called draft to digital, with the number two, draft to digital. And they are a distributor that, if you choose, they can distribute to almost every distributor in the, it's sort of a meta distributor. They distribute to the other distributors. And so if you're listening, you think, I want to publish my book everywhere and do, and but I want minimal effort, draft to digital is all you need. And they check every box. They'll get it onto Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, Google, Kobo, libraries. It's amazing. And they've even recently done print, and they will even connect with another fantastic company called Findaway Voices. Findaway Voices does audio distribution, audiobook distribution. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, it must be so difficult to publish my book to all these places, all you really need is draft to digital. That's it. If you want the more complex story, there are reasons, especially for me, if you have a bunch of books or you're really planning on like a career as an author, then you want to go directly to some of the distributors like Amazon, Apple, Google, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, those five. But otherwise, if you just decide, I want to get this thing done, I just want to get it out there, I want it to be simple and easy. Oh, it costs nothing, by the way. So you can get up for draft to digital and you have your book published to the planet with some clicks and some uploads.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's a fantastic service.
Oh, brilliant. And I mean, the fact that you've done so many books, what kind of advice would you give to yourself for the first audio that you have done, now that you've kind of done? I don't know how many you've actually done. Have you done the 34, 35 in audio, but you've obviously done a few.
No, I think I've half or so. Yeah, also still a lot. Fiction still books a lot. In there. Yeah, still a lot. The fiction ones, fiction is really a different ballgame. I didn't do the audio for fiction. It's really, as much as I think of myself as a theatrical actor, the fiction is different. It's a different story. So, you know, actually one of my tips for editing, you mentioned editing earlier, back and forth. It's difficult, but one of my favorite tips for editing is read your book aloud. And you're there and you're looking and make a show of it. You say, watch this 7-minute video and fill in the form below. Answer a few questions you'll receive by email. I'll get back to you. I'm reading some page on my computer here. But read your book out loud. If you really want pain, record it and then listen. And this, I say this from pain. This can be painful because you're going to, number one, you'll think, wow, my book needs editing. And then you might say, I'm a terrible book narrator, but probably you're going to say, wow, that paragraph two, wow, it needs a little punch and I'm going to change it this way. So that would be my advice for audiobook is take a chapter too. Like my first timers, I say, just narrate one chapter and let me know, are you going to murder people? Are you going to throw your laptop out the window? Or are you thinking, hey, this is, I could do this. Or maybe you're even, I love this, I want more. But you're going to know after a single chapter. I just had actually in my procrastinate book, I have a foreword by this other guy and he had never recorded audio for anything. And he's like, I don't know how I did. And I gave him some tips and he got it done in a day. So it's basically trial and error and give it a shot. And then if you decide, by the way, that you don't want to narrate your own book at Findaway Voices, which is a fantastic company, they have a whole marketplace of narrators. You can look it up by accent and, you know, male, female, accent, you know, Irish from the South, you know, Irish from Cork. And you probably find somebody who has an accent that you like and the style, you know, humor or deep or light, or it's amazing. The whole Findaway Voices is an awesome company.
Like when you were doing recording, then did you find that you had to limit it to a certain time, or had you ways of making sure that your energy was up? Because I mean, every day isn't always, you know, roses in the garden. There's days that we kind of like,
yeah.
Did you just decide I'm not recording that day, or did you decide I'm going to do X amount and to keep the energy kind of, because you don't want it kind of varying from the start of the book to kind of halfway through.
Yes, that's an excellent point, because I think listeners will hear that. Wow, in chapter 7, he was pretty tired, right? So, yeah, that's important. And so morning guy that I am, and especially like, so, and we were talking about meditation, I would post meditation, do my narrations, because that's when I'm clearest, I put my energy strong. And then ideally, well, if you want to get a little technical, and you're a podcast guy, you know this, but in the audiobook world, it is extremely strict with the sound, the audio quality, and you will get rejected. I got rejected once. It said, at the end of chapter 3, there's a little chirp after the chapter. Rejected. And so I've got to go listen in and find some little click noise, or, you know, I tap the table or something. And so that's important too, is having a good soundproof room, which can absolutely be a closet, by the way, a closet with lots of clothing, if you want to go kind of old school, and buy a decent microphone.
So you came out of the closet when you done your audiobook.
I...
Does your wife know?
I did. I am a narrator, my dear. I am an audiobook narrator. I admit it. But speaking of noise, that's important too. Is the gardener, you know, blowing leaves down the street, or is there fireworks going off? So that's why I literally record in my closet. So I don't have a fancy studio or anything, but the closet, it's got to be an enclosed space and no big echo and all that. And then here, one little technical tip. I don't know if you do this in podcasts, maybe it's different, but I'm reading my bit and I'm reading along, and then I'm going to make a mistake. Oh no, I made a mistake. And so either you can clap, you go.
Yeah, you see the spike in the acoustics and the red editing.
Yeah, or you can say, I usually say pop, pop, pop really loud. And then when you're going back to edit, if you're doing the editing, then you go back to edit and you'll see the three big spikes. So my trick, and I learned this from this other guy, I love it. I messed up, and here's the next part, pop, pop, pop. So then I don't hit stop. I don't hit pause. I just keep going. I go back to where I was, and I say, oh, and then the banana met the grapefruit. And so then I can just, it's called ripple delete. And it pulls this, brings it together, and it takes out my mistake and the pop, 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 and just flows. That one technical tip saves me hours and hours of work.
Yeah, no, because sometimes if I'm doing if I was doing like, say, the sponsorship thing or something like that, and there was something that I was saying, that's what I do. I just keep it quiet, and then I go, okay, I can just go in. Because sometimes you think, okay, I'll just go again, and I'll use the front part of this, front part of that. And then you end up having a load of files, and it becomes 10 times more work, because then you have to you know, cut and paste and all this. And the best thing is what you've just said, it's 100 times easier to do.
Yeah, yeah. I can get a really short audiobook done in a morning or two when I'm focused, because I'm just reading, and if I mess up, pop, 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 mess up, keep going. And there's so much less editing time. But you're right about that. It's tiring. You said, oh, I'm not feeling great today. It's tiring. So I will a few hours max per day, and then go do something else. Because you'll notice it in your energy.
Yeah. So the meditation that you gave me, which I'll put out after this episode on the meditation podcast, it's 17 minutes to more clarity. So you actually have a fantastic voice, because, you know, I always like listening to it. And I, you know, some people, they just have a gift and it's nice listening to it. So you have actually a nice voice to listen for the meditation. So you might just tell people what that meditation is about.
Sure. So this meditation I'm becoming a big fan of Insight Timer. You know it?
Yeah.
It's meditation app. And I got to say, one thing that's, I think, kind of revolutionary that they do is that, as far as I know, anybody can apply to put their get their meditations onto this app. And so I had never really created a meditation, but I get this question quite a bit because of what you said. My people like my voice, they like my audiobooks, and then, hey, meditation guy that I am. But I didn't used to think, I don't know, I'll recommend some other people, but I don't actually do or give guided meditations. But I kept getting their requests. I'm like, oh, all right, fine. And so I did it. And that's my first one that I gave you that I really enjoyed. And I'm a bit superstitious, and 17 is my favorite number for everything. My newsletter comes out on the 17th. My books come out on the 17th. I like 17 minutes. I have a 17-hour program from 4 p.m. to 9 a.m. with fasting and meditating. So that's why it's 17 minutes long. And there's even a thing, Esther Hicks talks about this 17-second thing of meditation. Like, even in 17 seconds, you can have a bit of clarity of mind. So for this one, I'm very visual, and I really enjoy the guided meditations. So I'm guiding you in this lake in Northern California in the mountains. And I don't mention the name of the lake, and I'm not going to hear either because it's sort of a secret, but it's a beautiful place. And I'm bringing you into this lake. We're going to walk into the lake. It's very visual. I'm guiding you along, and I want to give you calm. And then we're going to rustle up the sand on the bed of the lake. And we're going to let all of the sand, what are they called? Wow, I have a Dutch word. Kernel. Grain, that's the word. Grains of sand and it's all sparkly, but it's still very foggy and glittery. And then it's going to, if you stay still, the sand will settle and it'll be clear again. So that's a little sneak peek at the lake in Northern California there. And I really enjoyed doing it. And as we've talked about, a lot of what we're talking about is clarity, the clarity of mind, the clarity to reach calm. You mentioned calm a few times. I like that. I don't use that word so much, but it's a good word you're using. I like it. Calm. Yeah.
And like just finally, I want to touch on your podcast. So it's called Repossible. Is the name?
Yeah.
Of it.
Yeah.
And like you've over 5 years. So congratulations on a massive milestone. You've over 300 Thanks. Episodes. So you might let people know what your podcast about.
Well, again, as you and I talked about it, as we sort of have in common, we talked about how it could be a monologue, which is it's actually easy for me, just like a speech or a book. I can monologue all day. It's not really a problem, or even a challenge for me anymore. But the reason I've been doing it so long is because I'm a big believer in habit and ritual and a calendar deadline. So every Thursday, I do a YouTube video and a podcast. And if I don't have a guest, then I'm going to do a monologue. And so that's, by the way, that's one of my big secrets of productivity, is just to put it on the calendar and do it on a regular basis. If it's every day or every week or every month, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Just have it on the calendar and do it. So that's been how I've done over 300 episodes. It's because I have it on the calendar and I do not miss a day. There is no excuse. I don't care if I'm sick. I don't care if I'm on holiday. I don't care if I'm whatever, driving all day. I will do it from the car. I will take a pit stop. I will upload some audio. I will get it done. So that's crucial. But then as far as the content of the podcast, I am looking for more guests. And Repossible tagline is, who will you be next? And my thinking along those lines is, I have a book I want to write about being a cat, how a cat has 9 lives and we only have 1. And I think that's unfair. And I think that we could say that we have 9 lives within our life, because if you're somebody and you feel stuck, or you feel like I've been doing this time in my life too long, well, is it possible to change that? Can you, I don't mean become another person, like your DNA has changed or change your name or something, but it could even be career. You go from a plumber to a poet. Can you do that? Is that possible? And that sounds big and scary, but are there then smaller versions of that where you can change? And a lot of that is back to habits. I only became a writer because I wrote every day. That's it. I wasn't better. I was just more perseverant. That's what got it. Same with meditation. I've been meditating every day for 7 years plus. Why? Because I just do it every day. And at some point it becomes a habit. And so then that's actually the goal, is to, I write a lot about habits. So if any of what you and I have talked about in this conversation sounds relevant or interesting, because I'm very much along the same lines, come on to my podcast, come to repossible.com and come find me, and we'll have a chat. Because I really appreciate what Roy is doing here, and especially your topics of meditation and speaking, they're just so up my alley. And I'm really thankful that you're doing this, and I want to follow in your footsteps and do more, especially with the conversations. So thanks again for having this.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. And so much for my professionalism. I think it's the first time the alarm went on, but we had such a fantastic conversation beforehand, which doesn't always happen with guests. Sometimes it just, you just get in. I mean, obviously we have pre-forms and everything, but we had a very long conversation, enjoyable conversation prior to it, which was fantastic. So listen, Bradley, thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. You might let people know how they can find you.
The simplest is repossible.com. If you can say or pronounce my last name, you can search that. But the simplest is repossible. So R-E, like in regards to, or repeating, right? R-E possible. Repossible.com is the simplest.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll make sure I put the link button, the audio and the video. And I'll also put the actual podcast as well, because, and I know their links are in it, but sometimes people we make it easy for them. But thank you very much. And I'd love to get you back again and go maybe deeper into the book thing, because I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I'd love it. Love it. I love very much about inspiration, motivation. I love motivating people, because I think of myself 12 years ago when I needed it. And the way I broke through was somebody challenged me to a 30-day challenge. So I'm so powerful and awesome, I did it on my own. Nope. I had a guy basically force me to write every day for 30 days. That was it. So I'm a big believer in being asked, being invited, and then accepting that invitation and going for it.
Thank you very much, Bradley. That's all for the speaking podcast and the meditation podcast. Until next week, take care. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to give us a thumbs up, 5-star rating, and share with your friends. And you'll find all my shows with the QR code or bio.link/podcaster, as well as my podcast coaching. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com, helping people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. Also, if you'd like to go on a podcasting tour, I can help you do that. And if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me on my bio.link/podcaster. Until next week, take care.